Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Top of the afternoon to you all. Great to have your company again this Wednesday afternoon. Well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever the weather, whatever the time of day, it's time to take 25. Pour yourself a cuppa, sit back, relax, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
To let it go, put on a show. I wanna see how you lose control. So leave it behind, cause we have a night to get away. So come on and fly with me as we make our great escape. Temperature, cause to me she's 0 degrees, she cold, over freeze. I got that girl from overseas, now she's my Miss America, now can I be her soldier, please? I'm fighting for this girl on the battlefield of love. Down they look like baby Cupid sending arrows from above. Don't you ever leave the side of me, and definitely not probably, and honestly, I'm down like the economy. Yeah,
what a great track to start our Wednesday afternoon. Do you know, I have no idea what's going on today. My head is full of stuff whizzing around. Oh, what are we going to talk about, Irene?
Well, it sounds like we need an extraction going on here. Hey, listen, I've got something really interesting I came across. Flew Air Asia on the weekend over to Oz and back to see my grandson. And reading their in-flight magazine, there's this article about marriage markets. And I thought, oh, okay, I've been single for years. Let's have a look at this and see where it takes me. And so I started reading this thing. I was absolutely gobsmacked. Still today, every Thursday and Sunday afternoon, in the middle of this, I won't try and say the name, park in Beijing, they have marriage markets. And these mums and dads are out there with photos and credentials and certificates and all sorts of things, and they have their little stalls set up, and they have all sorts of items on these stalls to try and attract suitable suitors for their sons or their daughters.
And
how about that?
You're absolutely right. When we went to Beijing recently, we went to one of those parks. We saw the tree that it was all set up under. And, yeah, so they're trying to get their children married off. Isn't it just fascinating?
Yeah, well, one of the guys apparently that they interviewed said that, you know, he's really happy for his mother to do it for him because he's, you know, in his 30s and he's getting desperate and he needs a wife and so on and so forth. And others were saying, yeah, they didn't have a problem with it. Their mother doesn't interfere with them and it's their choice at the end of the day and so on and so forth. But then because I was interested, I dug a little bit deeper into Google and read a little bit more about it. It's actually quite a business for these women. Some of them will sell their daughters up to 20 or more times.
Crazy, isn't it?
Like the groom's parents have to pay for the bride, and it can be as much as $10,000 sometimes. So the bride happily gets married, and then she decides to do a walk in a year's time, and she's available for the next one. And so it becomes quite a
That's rather
money-making.
Entrepreneurial, isn't it? Wow.
Can you imagine us doing this here?
Yeah. But hey, tell me, how is that different than going online? I mean, not the money thing side of it, but, you know, putting all the photos out in a park and trying to entice people to, you know, meet your daughter or son. Is it really any different to people that go online onto Tinder and all of those other things?
No, I don't think so, except I think online it's a personal thing. I don't think mums and dads go and try and sell to total strangers online. I mean, at least with the personal market, they can check the potential family and groom out to make sure that they're being honest, even if they're not.
That's true, yeah.
But online it's very much a hit and miss thing, and yeah. Believe me, I tried that, what's that, find someone many years ago, and every single date I had was just an absolutely disaster. Only because he'd lied. I mean, he'd lied about his age and lied about everything, and it's like, what's the point?
It's fascinating that you bring that up, because when the guide was telling us about that, we were kind of going, oh my gosh, as well. And interestingly enough, they did talk about the actual guide herself. She was, in Chinese terms, getting a bit old, and her parents were trying to, you know, get her partnered up. But she was also married in the wrong year. So it very much depends on the year, born in the wrong year. So they're looking for particular, you know, the very auspicious year that you were born in, to whether, you know, their horoscopes, whether you're a goat or a monkey or whatever else. So there's a whole lot of that goes behind it as well. And then when the whole wedding comes along, often they'll go to, I can't remember what they called it, but someone who will give them the right day, the right time, to actually get married as well. So it's a real ritual, apparently. Yeah.
All on the signs and whatever. But the other thing that came out of that is I don't think anybody's going to be too fussy about when the female was born nowadays. Or no, it's the other way around, isn't it? Because there's something like, I don't know which way around it is. There's about one female for 10,000 males or something. I mean, the gap was enormous.
Yeah.
So that's why the females are able to
be a little bit more fussy.
That's why they can keep moving every year or so and get another lot of money.
I always tell my students about that. We have this conversation and I said, I've got the answer. I said, every woman can have 5 husbands.
Yeah.
And they all giggle away and think it's hilarious.
I think that's a perfect solution.
Isn't it just?
There's no way we'd get a man in our lives that would be happy to do that in a million years.
Yeah.
Not any religion, not any culture, it's always the other way around.
So your Air Asia magazine was obviously written in English?
It was.
Yeah.
Air Asia, it's the first time I've flown Air Asia for years and years and years. I never even knew an Air Asia existed, actually, with all my flying around.
Well, there's a bit of trivia, isn't it, to start our afternoon? You're full of trivia, you are.
Well,
I know you.
I keep hearing these things, and you know me, everything in life fascinates me if I don't know a thing about it, and there's so much I don't know a thing about that I'm always in this state of fascination. And Gary McCormick. I love listening to Gary. He's one of these straightforward, down-to-earth, doesn't let any BC da-da-da get control of him. And he's just Gary, right or wrong. Don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but he's great. And he was coming up with all this trivia stuff. And actually, I was going to talk about that, but I'm not. I'm going to talk about the manta rays first. He said that they... it's been proven that manta rays can recognise themselves in a mirror, which puts them in this human classification of being this intelligent creature, and therefore they have feelings and everything, and therefore they should be treated more like a human being and less like a fish that's available to be eaten type.
Is a manta ray similar to a stingray?
Yes.
But they're the same family.
Yes.
So they kind of lookish the same.
Yes. Okay. It's exactly the same family. Yep. And of course, I just reduced a whole pile of scientific university, you know, headings and that down to my gobbledygook, which just says, okay, they're more human now than fish, so we've got to treat them a lot nicer than what we did in the past. It's basically what the mirror test is all about. But anyway, so I was reading up about this mirror test, and yes, manta rays, and of course, all the mammals can do it, but the manta ray is now, I actually believe a lot of fish can do it. I've got loads of stories about fish and how they've come and played with me when I've been diving. But the manta ray, huge manta rays. I was up in Papua New Guinea in a little island called the Hermit Islands back in 94 in my boat. In the days when the Hermit Islands never saw anybody, any white people sailing around in a boat. So it was, you know, just amazing. But I'd gone into this little lagoon, worked my way through all the coral reefs and got into this little lagoon, and there were these huge manta rays in this lagoon. So mask and snorkel flippers on over the side and started swimming with these things. And they started playing with me. I mean, they were twice my size. The only reason I got out of the water was I was totally exhausted. I would dive down, a manta ray would come over top of me, wrap one wing around me, so it wasn't touching me, but I was totally enclosed in this wing, and they would just simply glide off. As they realised that I was losing my breath and needing to go to the surface, they'd simply glide off me and wait till I got my breath and dived under again, and we did that for 4 or 5 hours.
How fantastic
is
that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
So nobody can tell me that they're not intelligent creatures.
Yeah.
At no time did they touch me. At no with their wings or anything. And I mean, I was as clumsy as in the water compared to them. But at no time did they want to stop playing either. And they stayed playing around the boat for ages after I got in.
That is so cool. Mm. How do they? But just going back to your mirror thing, how do they test them to know whether they recognise themselves in the mirror?
It's something to do with putting a white stripe or a white mark on them somewhere, and so they recognise that mark. Oh, I'd have to read about that to make that an intelligent answer, but it's something to do with putting a mark on them. They recognise themselves with the mark on. If another fish is put in the water as well...
Most bizarre, actually, when you think about it, because I'm even thinking about how can they tell that we recognise ourselves in the mirror, because there's nobody else in the mirror at the same time. Well, I mean, if it's other people around you, well, there you go. There's something to think about on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, I probably should have looked at that a little bit better. It made sense to me at the time when I was reading it, how they, because the first, one of my big things is humans always think they know what a fish or an animal is thinking or feeling, and I'm always going, come on.
It's the most bizarre thing, isn't it? And I find that too when someone's going back into history and they go, oh, they did this and they did it that way. And I'm thinking, you don't know.
No,
you don't really know yourself. Yeah. And of course, we don't even know what each other's feeling, really.
No.
You know, so how we can expect to know what animals, how they communicate. We know they communicate different language. Yeah. But,
well, you get all these people that are experts in their fields, and they make an assumption and they put that assumption out, and within a year or two it's become a fact. So
that's how it works.
We're all pretty good at doing that, aren't we?
We are. Well, yeah, I suppose we must say that we are, isn't it? And it's interesting when people believe you, then it's all on the bandwagon and there it is in truth, black and white. Yeah, until someone comes and questions it.
Yeah. But, you know, what would we do without all the animals and the species that we have around us? Us humans are more dependent on them than I never ever thought about shuttlecocks, for instance. You know, that thing that they use when they play badminton and they flick this little...
Yeah, that little fluffy thing. Yeah.
Fluffy thing. Well, that fluffy thing is made from feathers. And it's made from the feathers of a goose or a duck. Now, let me just get this so that I get this right.
Goodness me.
Yeah. From a goose or a duck, and they're embedded into a rounded cork base. But to make sure that the thing is made correctly, you can only take the feathers from the left wing.
Oh, that's most bizarre.
You cannot, it's not when you think about it, because the feathers are shaped different ways. So if you take the feathers from both wings and put them in a shuttlecock, the shuttlecock won't fly. It'll just drop to the ground.
Okay, because the feathers will be going the opposite ways. They're not around enough.
Yeah. So if you take it from the left wing, the shuttlecock will then fly a certain way, and everybody on the court knows which way that is.
Wouldn't it be funny to take them from the right wing then? That would stuff everybody
that's
up.
That's exactly what I thought would be really cool. Now some of the people that I was Googling and looking at said that they just make sure that the shuttlecock is made with all left or all right. But then there were others that were saying, no, most of the professional players will not play with anything except a left-winged shuttlecock. But, I mean, these goose and these ducks are being plucked
for a shuttlecock.
You imagine how many gooses and ducks are growing over in China and Taiwan and these places where the, you know, the sport is one of their major sports.
But they eat a lot of them over there as well. So there you go, using everything of the animal.
Hopefully.
Oh, that's most bizarre.
I know.
And I didn't realise actually probably in today's age that they were still made. From that, well, I suppose that if you're just doing it for fun, you end up with a plastic type one, don't you?
Well, yes. I mean, the feathers have been replicated in plastic, but the guys at the top of this thing won't play with anything but the real thing. Good on them. Hopefully the plastic ones go away altogether. But then you've got to think of those poor ducks and gooses. But if they're being fed and eaten and, you know... I can
look at
that.
Continue playing tennis, badminton, should I say. Yeah. Actually, I heard a bit of trivia too. And again, this was off the radio, and I thought it got me thinking. And the question was, what would you find in your attic? And I thought, well, actually, people probably don't have attics these days.
Oh, yes, they do.
But we, some of us still will. But, I mean, whether it's an attic or your storage shed, it's the same thing, isn't it? That thing that you've put away for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, what would I find if I went and actually searched in that big pile of stuff that we never look at?
Well, you should go and have a look. I have wonderful times in antics. Of course, being a home concierge, I'm quite often being asked to see what I could do about what's up in the attic. And it's just amazing how many people have attics and how much stuff is up there. And, I mean, I have builders going up there now and they're putting in benches and forms and things for me so that I can totally get their attics organised for them so that they know what they're doing. And there's amazing houses with attics in, even some of the modern ones have attics in. But, yes, people, those loved things that they cannot declutter, that they cannot throw out, they put in the attic. And they might not see it. They'll totally forget about it. It'll be 30 years down the track before they go, oh, my God, I remember that.
It'd be like Christmas, wouldn't it, going up into your attic every so often?
It's not even my attic. It's somebody else's. And I have the time of my life. I love doing attics. It's one of my favourite pastimes.
Oh, I could imagine there'd be treasures up there that you just would, as you say, would have totally forgotten about.
Yeah.
There'll be rubbish up there that you think, why on earth did I keep that?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it's one person's rubbish is another person's treasure, you know. So
absolutely.
You just never know. When I sort of semi-retired and jumped in a boat and went sailing and sold all my houses and everything, I had nowhere to store anything except girlfriends and family, and I didn't want to impose on them too much. So I gave the treasured things like the photo albums and things like that to my daughter and my fishing rods and my camping equipment, which was my most prized possessions, to my girlfriend, and got rid of everything else. And I regretted it so much. I mean, within 5 years, I was thinking of this silly little glass heart that my daughter had bought me that I used to have hanging on the wall. And, you know, it was just a cheap little trinket, but it was
so much
special.
Meaning to it. Yeah.
And they were just, I mean, your children give you loads of little trinkets over the years, and I should have just put them all into a box, because for 30 years they haven't been of any interest to me. But I'd love to go through that box now.
Yeah.
And I didn't keep that box.
Actually, that's one thing I use when I get in my my students to introduce themselves, is I ask them what one thing they would save if their house was on fire, if they could like run in safely and just grab that one thing. I have to explain to them, it's a special thing. Your documents are safe, your family's safe, your phone's safe, you know, it's okay. What's that one special thing? And often the students that have family, it'll be their children's colouring in book, or, you know, the book that they've been saving and collecting all of their children's things in, and that's kind of special to them, and that's what they would not want to lose. You're right, because, you know, it's just emotional attachment.
You see, Zach, you just said the one thing that, you said that colouring in book, that book that I've just finished decluttering one of my clients' garages. She has every single painting her child has painted since child was able to hold a paintbrush.
Well, that's a bit much.
My daughter did the same thing. We must have had about 10 banana boxes that were just full of all the children's paintings and drawings and exercise books from every single class. And, you know, that's over the top to me, isn't it?
I think it's sometime you have to kind of work that out. Hey, talking about banana boxes, I had to go and fetch some from the supermarket the other day because I'm about to become a mum again. The banana boxes hold little chicks just fantastically, just perfect size. Everything else, they're good and strong. But I tell you what, I'm going to catch up with you about that next week, because that's it for this week. But for our listeners out there, why don't you tell us about what you've got hidden in your attic, or what piece of trivia have you got that you can share? Go and visit us on our Facebook, Two Sugars Facebook, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
I've been beaten in the game of love. I've had to, yeah.
Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication. Delacro.co.nz.